الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وعباد الرحمن يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما وقال الله عز وجل أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite and abundant praise and glories for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him, we glorify Him, we seek His protection and assistance. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, most beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama, the one who showed us how to be a true servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who fulfilled the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and demonstrated how to keep a fast of the heart, of the soul, and also of the body and mind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send His abundant peace and blessings upon him and upon his noble family and upon the noble companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal on this blessed, sacred day and noble month be upon you all, and especially this last Jumu'ah perhaps. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all and pardon us and enter us into the gardens of paradise, insha'Allah, Al-Aziz. Today, insha'Allah, Al-Aziz, we have a very simple question, and hopefully we will find a very simple answer from the Qur'an and also from the Sunnah. Human beings, generally by their very nature, and if you can see this in children, especially from a very, very young age, they always want to please their parents. Daddy, have I done this right? Mommy, have I done this right? They want the praise, they want the support, they want the love and affection of a parent. They want the admiration of their elders. And they do this with their siblings as well, the elder siblings. And we do this with our teachers, always looking to get extra brownie points, getting to get that little bit of shabash and well done, a golden sticker, or perhaps a golden time, or some form of praise, a certificate or extra rewards, etc. This is part of human nature, that we look up to people, those that we respect, those that we love, those that we admire, and we are eager always to please them. This is human nature, and we do this with our parents, we do this with our siblings, we do this with our employer. You want to please your employer, so you will try hard and work effortlessly to please them so that you can get recognized and you can get a promotion. You do that with your employer. You do that even with your employees because you want them to like you in turn as well. So this is part of human nature, whether it is somebody that you work with, whether it is even your wife and you want to please her and vice versa, she wants to please you. Or we want to please our children, our family, our friends. So this is part of that greater circle of life, of always looking up to those people whom we admire and trying to find to please them in some way or form. And this is all good to a certain extent, to a certain degree, as long as it's done is in a healthy manner, in a correct manner, with the correct intention. But most of the times in our pursuit of pleasing other people and looking for their admiration, we fail to look at the higher objectives. and we fail to look at the primary thing of why we have been sent here on earth. Rather than pleasing the people and the dunya, what we should really focus on is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Malik, who is Al-Malik, which is why we say Maliki Yawmiddin, the one who owns everything. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So the true king, the true sovereign, the true owner, the true controller, and the true individual or being or entity that we should always actually try to please is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at all of the things that you do when you fall in love and how you try to please that individual, when you try to please your employer or various other things, the hoops that you jump through, the things that you do just to please that individual, can we say that we do all of those things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it always just the bare minimum? Namaz par li, ek par li, do par li, tin par li, khair hai. Jumate aage, ek miss ho gaya, dusra ho gaya, doesn't matter, it's fine. Then when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who should be truly being trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes more of a very flexible kind of relationship and fluid nature of, I'll do it now, or I'll delay it, or I'll do it next time. Why is that so? When your employer expects the best of you, and they demand the best of you, your wife, your spouse, your family members, your children, all of these individuals, they expect the best of you, and they're constantly expecting that, and you try to deliver that in some way or form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who gives true izzah, tu'izzu man tasha'u wa tuzillu man tasha'u, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives you honor, gives you waqar, gives you izzah in the dunya. And He's the one who gives you success in the dunya, and more importantly in the hereafter. So why are we not trying every single thing within our power, within our capacity, to actually please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I tell you one thing, it's much more easier to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than it is to please insan, than it is to please the dunya, than it is to please even your parents or your wife or your children. They may be pleased with you today, and that same individual tomorrow will say, "Inne kuch kita hi nahi mere waase kadi." What, this person has never done anything for me. They will turn around your own children, even your parents, even your spouse, and your employer. They'll say, "Get out, you're fired." Why? Because you did this wrong, that wrong. What about your 10 years of employment? All of those late nights and overtimes and all of these things. None of that will matter. It's very, very temporary. So it's not easy, and it's not a permanent thing to please the dunya or the people of the dunya, but it's much more easier for you to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has made many avenues, many means for us to achieve the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that actually means the most in the dunya, and actually will mean the most in the hereafter. So the month of Ramadan, if you reflect upon it in a very, very simple manner, throughout the year we are just trying to please the dunya, trying to please our employer, our friends, our neighbors, our cousins, our family members, our children, our spouses, etc. And but dunya de piche aise lage rehne, as they say, we're just pursuing the dunya. But then it comes to Ramadan and we cut off from all of these things. Rather than make extra time for that friend and extra time for that individual, we say, "Nay, yara, sorry, I have to go and pray. I have to do my taraweeh. I have to get it for sahri. I have to make sure I do this, I do that." Then you start making what? Your direction of your heart and your mind, it changes. And what you're actually trying to do and achieve is now please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of becoming slaves of the dunya, and also in a sense slave of humanity and insan, you try to become slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who are true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their attempt throughout the days and throughout the nights and in the evenings is entirely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is exactly what we're doing. You're not doing it to please your mom and your dad. You're fasting for whom? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're standing up in the middle of the night for Salatul Taraweeh. You're getting up for Sahri. You're doing all of these things for whom? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're here, you're trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very important for us to try to maintain this and build upon this and make sure that we achieve those characteristics, those sifat, those qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorizes as, these are the things that will please me. And this is the most important thing to achieve in your life, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, this is my banda, this is my servant, this is my slave. That is the true accolade, that is a true title, that is a true achievement that we want to achieve. So how do you recognize the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And most importantly, how do you instill these qualities within yourself? It's a very, very important question. So hopefully in the month of Ramadan, you will be on this journey of transformation, of change, and you will be developing these beautiful traits. Or, if you do not have them within yourself, at least you'll be able to recognize them in other people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ. Not the servants of the dunya and the slaves of the dunya or their desires and their whims and women and children and wealth and power and all of these things. No, Allah doesn't care about those people. Allah says, my bande, my people, my servants, my slaves, this attribution to Allah Azza wa Jal. There's nothing other greater than that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you are mine. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that my true servants and my true slaves are those. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. That how they walk on the earth, they walk on the earth with humility. And this is a sign of inner transformation. You know, because normally in the dunya, when you have a bit of wealth, when you have a bit of power, when you have a bit of influence, when you have a bit of shuhrah and all of these things, you walk around and you strut around like you own the place. You drive like you own the road. And you live and you walk and you can see that. As they say in our language, tordeko. You know, that's how they say that. Look at how he's walking, the way that you carry yourself, how broad your shoulders are, how straight your back is, and how you are carrying yourself and swinging. All of these will show what kind of a person you are. But the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who do not strut or swagger or have any haughtiness in their character, in the way that they carry themselves. Why? Because they realize they are walking on the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realize that they are breathing the air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realize that this body that have been given has been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have no takabbur, no fakhr, none of these things. And they walk with humility. And this is something that we need to develop if you really want to be recognized and categorized as a servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourself, how do you walk outside of Ramadan? And does that change during the Ramadan? And if it does, how will you continue with that change and transformation? How will you become more humble in the way that you carry yourself? Not to show off in front of other people, because it doesn't matter. What you need to do is lower yourself, submit yourself, and be in a humble state before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the all-seeing, who is the all-hearing, who is the all-knowing. So this is a very important thing that we need to really try to encapsulate within our lives. And also, the ibadur rahman, and this is something that we all trying to achieve in the month of Ramadan, their choice of words when they are provoked as well. So the way that they carry themselves, the way that they walk, and also the way that they talk. What is that? خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Normally somebody says one small thing to you and you go all guns blazing. How dare you say this to me? What did you mean by this? Who the hell do you think you are? These are the comments that come but straight away. And then you become a keyboard warrior and then you put these Instagrams and photos and all of these things. This person said this and did this. We're always ready to erupt. But no, the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have the state of khushu and khudu within their heart. Their hearts are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't concern themselves with the profanity and with these ignorant things and words of the dunya, because their hearts are engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their minds are engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they know that this tongue that they have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they use that tongue to recite the Qur'an. They use that tongue to say the kalima, to say the shahada, to do the zikr, to do the tawbah, to do the istighfar. So then how can they use that same tongue to swear at somebody, to use profanity at another person, to insult another person? You never see in the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam insulting other people, swearing at other people, because he was a true servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly in the month of Ramadan, what are we trying to achieve? We're not just fasting with our stomach, we're also fasting with our tongue, fasting with our heart. We're trying to protect our tongue and our mouth and making sure we say only those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say those things that are beneficial, that guide us and guide other people as well. So this is another quality that we try to achieve in the month of Ramadan and try to become closer servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another core characteristic of these individuals, and alhamdulillah, many of us are trying to achieve this, but it's about maintaining this as well, and then really being recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Their nights. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this beautiful example. This is how you recognize them externally. This is how you recognize them when they speak in kind and compassionate ways, or they remain silent. And this is how you recognize them during their night if you ever come across them as well. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Whilst other people, they are enjoying the comforts of their beds, the luxury of their beds, these individuals, the true ibadur rahman, they are dedicating a portion of their night for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bowing down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying and beseeching and imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam entered into Madinatul Munawwara, he said what? Ya ayyuhan nas afshu salam wa atimu ta'am wa silu al-arham wa sallu bil layli wa nasu niyam. That yes, do your communal things, spread peace and blessings in your community, feed the hungry, feed the poor, take care of the destitute, and maintain ties of kingship, stay close together as a community, and then what? Then wasallu bil layli wa nasu niyam. Then get up in the middle of the night and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what will happen? Tadkhulu al jannata bis salam. Then you will enter into the gardens of paradise with ease, with peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is who we are trying to become during the month of Ramadan by staying up for Salatul Taraweeh, by staying up for Tahajjud. We are spending our nights in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is again something that we need to maintain outside the month of Ramadan as well. So as I said at the beginning, we always are eager to please people, our employers and family members, but that is a very arbitrary thing. Today you have it, tomorrow you will not have it. But the true thing that we should try to achieve is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way to achieve that is by becoming the ibadur rahman in the way that we walk, in the way that we carry ourselves, in the way that we speak and communicate, and in the way that we apportion our nights for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also in our dua as well, that despite being righteous in your behavior and having beautiful speech and praying in the middle of the night for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these individuals still have hope in Allah azza wa jal, and they also have that fear as well. That وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. That those people, these true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, oh our Lord, turn us away from the punishment of the hell. So even though they are doing all of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, they are still turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His protection, seeking His mercy, seeking the salvation, and keep trying to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the punishment away. Oh our Lord, turn us away from the punishment of the hell. Indeed, its punishment is a permanent one. Indeed, it is evil as a settlement, as residence. So these people, they are not just thinking, yes, I've got the title, I've been recognized as this, and that's it, mera kam ho gaya. You know, sometimes we say, yes, we say the kalima, we say, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that's it. Once I come, what does he say? Sasi jannat bun jama, no. Alif la meem ahasib an nasu an yutraku an yuqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. Do you think you will just say you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that's it? You will not be trialed and tested? Of course you'll be trialed and tested. Look at even the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. A companion, he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he saw that the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa yusalli, he was praying, engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he could hear the heart of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam boiling and pumping so rapidly, so much so, and he realized that this was from the abundant fear and the crying of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Even though Allah azza wa jal has forgiven the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that protection to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in spite of that, we see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying, prostrating, bowing down and crying profusely, so much so that his heartbeat could be heard as like something which was boiling only in the fear and the khashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how our state should be as well. Not just in the month of Ramadan when we are searching for the night of Qadr, or when we are searching for the ashara of rahmah or maghfirah or itqum minan nar, but every single day wherever we go we should be looking and praying and doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also recognized through their charity as well. وَالَّذِينِ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا during the days and also during the nights as well. And alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, we are encouraged because we know the rewards are there, up to 700 times for giving out in charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whether that is sirrun wa alaniya, whether that is secretly, whether that is publicly and openly, we know that our reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will not have any fear concerning them, or neither will we grieve in any particular way. So again, these are some of the qualities that you can see in the true ibadur rahman, the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who give in the month of Ramadan should also give whatever little, whatever much they have outside the month of Ramadan, so they can continue to be recognized as the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these people, just like us now, what are we trying to achieve on a daily basis is keep away from the minor sins, and also most importantly keep away from the major sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And these are the people, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَذْنُونَ. These are the people who do not call on to anything else except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and neither do they kill a soul which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, and neither do they commit anything unlawful in terms of sexual intercourse or anything else, because they know there is a grave penalty. We know the halal, it's made absolutely and abundantly clear, and we also know the haram, which is abundantly clear as well. And therefore we are required, not just in the month of Ramadan, but outside in the month of Ramadan as well, to maintain the sharia, maintain our taqwa and tahara of our body, our soul, and make sure we do only those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, you know, profanity and these illegal things or haram things are not just the things that you do physically, but we need to be careful with how we use the social media, how we use the internet, the TV, etc. What kind of interactions that we have with the opposite sex, etc. What kind of things are we getting ourselves into? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. That we don't see falsehood, we don't bear witness to these things. So do you know these profanity and all of these illicit things? We not only see them, we keep away from them as much as possible, and we keep away from them in the most dignified of manners. So these are the traits of the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most importantly, in the month of Ramadan, we see we are developing a deep and meaningful connection with the Qur'an. The Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to illuminate our hearts, to rejuvenate our hearts, to purify our souls, to guide us, to take us back onto the straight path, the path of Siratul Mustaqim, the path of Jannah, the one that's shown to us by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So we don't just read the Quran, we don't just sing it along, we don't just listen to it or hum it, but no, we listen to it and we reflect upon it. We do tadabbur and tafakkur on the Quran. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, is spend quality time with the Qur'an. Not the quantity does not matter, it's the quality that matters, a deep and meaningful connection with the Qur'an. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why do they not ponder and reflect upon the Qur'an? Do they just listen to it in one ear and out the other? Listen to it. The Quran is not there just to be recited. It is there to be understood. It is there to be adopted. It is there to be implemented. So these are the things that we should really reflect upon, and we should see this gradual change within ourselves. And the believers are those, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, they feel a tremor in their hearts. This is how they should feel. This is how they should feel. And when the verses are recited to them, it increases them in their faith, and they call upon their Lord and they rely upon their Lord. This is how our kayfiyah and our hal and our state should be. And as a result of all of these beautiful characteristics of walking in the correct manner, of speaking in the correct manner, of giving out charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of spending the night in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of doing all of those things in terms of applying the halal and keeping away from the haram, and giving out charity in all of these things, and our relationship with the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. That what will be the reward of these true servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not servants and slaves of the dunya, or these people just trying to pursue and the happiness and the appeasement of the dunya and humanity, but no, true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their reward will be high mansions because of their patience. All of these things in terms of walking in the correct manner, speaking in the correct manner, behaving in the correct manner, giving out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of the things that we have discussed, all of this requires an abundant amount of patience. You can't do this without patience. You can't read your salah without patience. You can't do any of your fara'id without patience. Somebody has double parked across the road and there are police patrolling on the main street. So if you have double parked on the main road, you will be ticketed. So please do remove your car. So these people, the true ibadur rahman, the true servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that we are trying to achieve, this transformation within our lives, within the month of Ramadan, to become ibadur rahman, not just servants of the dunya, servants of your children, of your family, of your employer, but be servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. High mansions, lofty mansions will be there for you due to your patience, due to your sacrifices, where you'll be met with greetings and words of peace from the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, and you'll remain therein forever. حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًا وَمُقَامًا. What a beautiful settlement and residence there is for you, for those people who patiently fulfilled all of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and restrained themselves from the prohibitions, and they did all of this to become the servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will enter into paradise. And the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions in regards to Jannah that inna lakum an tahyaw, that you, once you enter into Jannah, you will live forever. You will live for eternity. You will not die. فَلَا تَمُوتُوا أَبَدًا وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ أَن تَصِحُوا, and you will have health, you will have youth, you will have, you know, prosperity, and you will never feel sick or ill again because you are there in Jannah. And then you will have this youth as well, and you never become old ever again once you are in Jannah, and you'll have all of the favors and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll never be worried again, you'll never be miserly again, you'll never be anxious again in any way whatsoever. You'll have a blissful and peaceful life, and you'll be living in this beautiful state. Why? Because you were truly the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So more importantly than pleasing the dunya, pleasing human beings, and pleasing these things which are there today and may not be there tomorrow, it's more important for us to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way to please Him is clearly mentioned there in the Quran, by adopting all of these actions and characteristics and becoming true servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal enable us all to become ibadur rahman. Wa aquli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khayran. Kuch zaruri elanat.